Test in the spirits, or hearing God speak to us and being able to recognize God's voice as opposed to any other voice. What I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to give you some Bible verses, and then I'm going to give you my personal tip sheet, the little ways in which I recognize the Lord's voice. And I've you know, if you've got any that you want to add to that when we get to that stage, that would be fabulous, because the Lord is teaching us all the time to recognize his voice. And I think we all of us, you learn little tips of things that help. So I thought I'd give you mine and encourage you to think and recognize your own, so that we can benefit from hearing God and recognizing that it is God who is speaking when he's speaking to us. So I'll start with 1 John, which is the passage that I should be speaking on. But I'm actually going to start at the end of chapter 3 and then go on into chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 4. So 1 John 3, verse 18, I'm starting to read it. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Christ Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. God has two main ways of speaking to us. One is scripture, and the other one is the person of Jesus. And those of you who are familiar with the Logos doctrine at the beginning of John's gospel know that, you know, that Jesus is the Word of God, and his life and and teaching are also primary ways in which God speaks to us. But he also uses other things. He uses pictures and objects and circumstances and preachers and other people, conversations at bus stops. But there's two verses in 1 Thessalonians that speak very clearly to us that not all those impressions that we get are necessarily backed by the authority of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Test everything, hold on to the good, and avoid every kind of evil. So it's a really simple message. Just because I'm preaching in the name of the Lord doesn't mean I'm going to get everything right. We have to test everything that we hear. Does it match up with the life of Jesus? Does it match up with scripture? Is it from the Lord? Is it of the Holy Spirit? Or is it something that is not of the Lord and therefore, by definition, is evil and unhelpful and damaging? God always hears what we say, but he chooses when he's going to speak to us, right? He doesn't speak all the time in the same way that he hears all the time. Or at least that's my experience. But when he does speak, it's personal and it's timely and it's kind. We recognize God's voice as by the character that he has shown us that he is. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in this process of listening to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit does remind us and he prompts us where we can check out what we think we're hearing. So the best way to listen is to go to scripture. But we have to go to scripture prayerfully. Prayer opens our hearts and it opens our minds to God. The scripture itself, without the Holy Spirit, can lead us astray. And so we must go in prayer, in faith, to the God who will then guide us in our reading and understanding of scripture. With the Holy Spirit, the words have meaning for us in our circumstances. So the fact that the Bible was written thousands of years ago doesn't change what God is saying, doesn't stop what God is saying to us. Because what God is saying through scripture is for us now. It's not a purely historical document. And that's fantastic because we do not have to be biblical scholars or theologians to hear what God is saying through scripture. Theologians and biblical scholars can give us information and knowledge, and it can be very helpful to consult commentaries or whatever. All your preachers do that, but the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us without us being that highly educated. The Lord is able to speak to us really clearly through his word, and you notice I said is able to. I'll come on to that a little bit later. Now, alarm bells should ring if what we hear is not reflected in scripture. So if we're hearing something that is not in line with what we know of scripture, then we ought to be very, very careful, because it may well be something that is not of the Lord. The Lord has given us brains and he has given us instincts, and we should be very careful as we are listening to make sure that we engage both our brain and our instinct and our knowledge of him, even as we come to scripture. I found a lovely bit in Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and says, let's worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. And then verse 6. If your very own brother or your son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let's go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, from the one end of the land to the other, do not yield to them or listen to them. Verse 12. If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of that town astray, saying, let's go and worship other gods, gods you haven't known, then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. You see, what God says carries his authority. So his good purposes will prevail, even if we think that something is true and right. If it isn't true and right, then it won't last. James 3, verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it to you by their good life and the deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. In other words, things that are of God lead to good things and are evidenced as good, whereas things that do not come from God are demonic. They are of Satan. They are lies, and they are going to lead to destruction. And so we should have nothing to do with them, to avoid them. Jesus, that doesn't mean that everything that we hear from God is nice, in the sense that Jesus confronted people And God does confront us. He confronts us so that we will act or we will change our attitudes. So yes, it's got to be a voice from God that is good, but that doesn't mean it is necessarily easy to hear or easy to respond to. Romans 12 verse 2, very famous verse. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, acceptable and perfect will. So sometimes what we hear from God will be different to the way we have been thinking previously. So we mustn't just think that God is going to always say what we expect him to say. I had a good example of this, because this, when I was looking at this, the Lord gave me a reference. It's what I must not say. The Lord, I was led in my thinking to a reference. I wrote it down on my little tablet here. And I couldn't immediately see, you might not be able to read this, but that doesn't matter. I couldn't immediately see how this was relevant. Jesus replied, this is Luke 17, verse 37. Jesus replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. Okay, and I was thinking, well, what's that got to do with the topic? And I've obviously read, well, what was Jesus replying to? So I'll give you an example of how the Lord doesn't necessarily speak in a way that we necessarily immediately understand. Luke 17, verse 37. I hope this makes sense. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. And I couldn't immediately see how that sentence that Jesus used was a reply to the confusion that those listening to him were feeling about the talk of the last day and the rapture, for want of a shortcut term. And I thought, well, this surely, Lord, isn't part of my sermon preparation. This isn't helpful. This is leading me away from clarity and not into a clear message. But the more I thought about it, if you're looking for vultures, if you've got your eyes on the sky, then you will know where they're gathering. You can imagine I know we don't have vultures in this country, or at least not gathering, but if you can imagine you're on the savannah in Africa, you for miles around, if you are looking to the sky, will be able to tell where there is a rotten carcass, because the vultures will be gathering there. And it's almost as if the Lord has said, you know, if you want to know what's happening and where death is, where there's a carcass, then look up. Then you've got to, which is not an obvious, it doesn't obviously fit in with this sermon, except as an example of how sometimes you have to use your brain and allow the Lord to work in your mind to explain what his word is saying. It's not always obvious. And that has been my experience. But God is gracious, and he will explain what he wants us to understand. He will, sometimes he will even repeat himself, so that what you failed to understand in one place, you will find again, or perhaps in a slightly different way that sort of confirms it to you. And so it is my experience that God is very gracious and will wait until we hear what he says. But the other reason that he waits is for us to take some notice of what he says, so that we are actually putting into practice what he has asked us to do, or how he has asked us to proceed. Yes, I've put here, our vantage point, eyesight and sense of smell are vastly inferior to a vulture, but if we look for them, we will know where and be able to avoid corruption. So it's positive and negative. So I've given you an example, really, of how I find the Lord speaks to me. So I'm going to go on to give you a few more examples that hopefully will be helpful. And the very first thing is to note that God forgives me time and time again for getting it wrong, and for my wrong attitudes and my wrong behavior. When I go to him, he doesn't just do it, he does it when I go with that sort of broken attitude and repent, go to the foot of the cross, go before him in prayer and open myself up to his correction and to his forgiveness. God speaks thinking that is beyond what I would have otherwise considered. So sometimes I say God said to me something, because in the natural, I would never have come to that thought on my own. I have found that God speaks to me briefly. I think I've shared this example before, but it's so classic of how briefly God speaks. There was one occasion when I was wondering what I should do with my life. That's a perpetual question in my life. What should I be doing with my life, Lord? And I really wanted an answer. So because I quite often speak to the Lord and hear him in the bath, I ran myself a bath complete with bubbles, because I thought this is going to be a biggie. And I seem to remember I even poured myself a glass of wine, which is not common But I really want to, you know, come on, Lord, I really need to know what I should do with my life. And I can picture this. Oh, this was a long time ago, but I can picture myself sort of turning the tap on and the Lord saying, whose life? And of course, immediately, well, of course, it's not my life. I've given my life to the Lord. So it's not up to me to know, to work out. It's not a conversation he needs to have with me, because it's not in my, you know, it's in his gift, not for me to discover. So I didn't actually ever have that bar. But it just shows how briefly the Lord can just turn something around. And it, you know, it's consistent with scripture that he often does use questions in his responses. God enjoys teaching me to obey him. During the week I met up with my daughter Ashtonport for lunch. And I went into the rose garden afterwards because I'd paid my parking. And so I thought, well, I might as well just have a little wander around. And I spent some time in prayer, and I was feeling as though I wasn't particularly obedient, and the Lord didn't really use me. And I was feeling a little dejected, I suppose. But also guilty, perhaps. And so I sort of prayed to the Lord, and then I sat and did a Sudoku on my phone. And a lady came up to me and started chatting to me. And her name was Marie, and she has a husband, Jerry, who has Alzheimer's, and is, you know, she's got a carer, and clearly this woman, who gave me quite a lot of her life history, was in desperate need of the Lord and desperately need of help and support, was going through a really, really difficult time. And I was just so thrilled that, just having prayed about how useless I was, the Lord says, no, I can use you. And this lady, eventually I said to her, you know, I'm a praying person. Is there anything that I can pray for you in your situation? And she said, oh, you know, that would be wonderful. Could you pray about my house? And I was thinking, this woman's just told me about her really difficult circumstances with her husband. And yet, actually, what she asked for prayer for was her house and sorting out her house, whatever that meant. Anyway, I was able to sit with her there and then and pray for her house and pray the Lord's blessing on her. But it was one of those things. I was in the right place at the right time because I was open to what the Lord was saying, and I just, it was almost as if the Lord was sort of smiling, saying, oh, okay, well, I'll teach you how you can be useful, so I do get that warmth from when I know God is speaking. It's almost like a virtual wink that goes between him and I. I know he's having fun watching me respond. And I do think he has a sense of humor. I was praying at home group for Rocky. And I'm also aware that Ebony's not well at the moment. And I was sort of thinking, you know, is this legitimate, praying for cats and dogs. And we also had a picture in home group about a cat all curled up in a next to a comforting a dog. And I was I'm not a great pet lover. And I was thinking, this is ridiculous. And then there was a knock on the door, and it was a lady who was, I mean, I've never seen her before, completely out of the blue, just asking me about the cat that she could see in the window of the house opposite. And as it was almost as if the Lord was saying, okay, I'll teach you, you know, yes, you can. You can, cats and dogs have got a place in your home group prayer time. And it was just that it was the Lord's sense of humour coming out for me in the timing of this lady calling. And just one more that I want to share with you, which before I open the floor up, if anybody else has got any other tips, is that the sticky bits of scripture, the bits of scripture that I immediately say, no, Lord, I don't agree with that. That can't be right. You know, that doesn't make sense, or that doesn't, you know, why is that there? Or it, the bits that I find offensive, the bits that trip me up in scripture, have come to be the bits that the Lord is going to teach me more. It's almost as if the Lord says, okay, right, we can make progress here. Stay with it, Jane. This is one of the times you are going to learn something that you didn't know before, that you are going to understand more of me because you have found this trip hazard. I'm going to teach you. And so those pieces of scripture that are difficult no longer stop me and make me want to say, oh, for goodness sake, you know, this is rubbish. Because I don't think that. I now think, oh Lord, there's something you're going to show me. And so I really enjoy those bits. So has anybody thought during what I've been saying of things that help you recognize when it's the Lord speaking to you?
I've had occasions when I felt the Lord was saying something and wasn't at all sure. And then it's been a matter of time that has confirmed it for me, because the same thing has come back over even, you know, months or a year even. And I think, okay, Lord, I'm listening at last. You know, this is you. You know, it just hasn't gone away as other thoughts might have done if they weren't from the Lord.
Thank you. I also think it's timely. I've worked out that the Lord never tells me to phone somebody at 5 o'clock in the morning. When the Lord tells me to do something, he tells me to do it at an appropriate time.
Part of it comes with practice, I think. The scripture talks about solid food is for the mature, for those who've had their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. And I think hearing from God is partly that. You grow to recognize God's voice more and more, and to discern what is not God's voice more and more. But when I was a very young Christian, what helped me very much was some what was called intercession notes, printed by a group called YWAM, and taken from the teachings of a lady called Joy Dawson, who was a very good Bible teacher that they used to rely on a lot. And it talks about if you're having a time of prayer, and you want to listen to God and be led by God, by the Spirit, how to prepare your heart, you know, to confess all known sin, ask him to forgive you, to recognize your weakness, that you can't hear from God unless except by the Spirit, to lay aside all your own preconceived ideas and ambitions and notions of what you think God might want to say to you, rebuke the enemy, tell him to shut up, be quiet and go away. And you have the authority in Jesus' name to do that, and then just wait patiently and ask God to speak. And also always have your Bible with you, because God will often speak through your Bible. And also, you know, as you're out and about in life, God will use other Christian people or even non-Christian people sometimes to speak to you. And sometimes you know, somebody will say something and you think, yeah, that's God guiding me or correcting me or doing something, talking to me in some way. So, yeah, that's me.
I was going to say, yeah, it's interesting, Jane, you said about it being quick, because for me, like Pauline said, I think it's often slow. And takes time. And I think that's probably because I don't listen very well. But yeah, I mean, I guess the example I think of quite a bit is why we ended up at Hebron, which took God a few years to get through to me. Having heard, we went to New Wine Conference. I don't know, Reuben was really small, so 9, 10 years ago, and heard a brilliant seminar on local church and being involved in local church. And I kind of intellectually assented to it and then went straight back to City Centre Church and kind of did nothing with it. And it took God a long time. I think it was a carol service at the end. I was chatting to Jason this afternoon about it, actually, and saying, actually, it was when God made it as obvious as us having asked people to go to a carol service in Clifton for several years and no one went. And then we asked our neighbours to go to the Hebron carol service and like 10 of them came. at that point, God made it so blatant that I couldn't ignore it any longer. And Helen said, oh my goodness, thank last you've kind of got the message, because she was there a long time before me. So I think I sort of learned that I need to listen better and maybe be ready to take the more subtle cues. I think the other thing I was going to say is, for me, it can be place as well, particularly being outside. We were at Holloway in the Lake District a couple of weeks ago, which is somewhere where I guess I did a lot of my spiritual growth as a teenager. And there's something about being back there. It's it's beautiful. You are surrounded by God's creation. I think for me, personally, somehow there's a connectedness of that's where God has spoken in the past, and he still speaks to me there. Mm.
Yeah, I have found out that I must try not to use expressions like God said or God told me. It inhibits meaningful conversations. I have friends who don't feel that God speaks to them. I don't hear God in an audible voice, but I know when God's speaking to me. And I think, as you said, Peter, it's recognizing God's voice that is key. And I've got a few thoughts here. God's voice is truth over falsehood. It's light over darkness. It's courage over anxiety. Peace over confusion. Togetherness over isolation. Revelation over fantasy. For you, not for someone else. Action over paralysis. Today over one day, persevering over giving up, authentic over counterfeit, consolation over desolation. Our response is gratitude, not desperation. We grow towards the good, and if we are ready to listen and respond, then he will speak to us of his love and of his son. He already has, and there is so much more conversation to be had.